Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to all you green-eyed fiends, and welcome to Fiendish and Friends episode two. In just a single week, there has been a wave of Bitcoin Cash excitement, news, and developments, including BCH upgrades locked in for May 2025, including virtual machine limits and arithmetic and big ints, allowing for elegant and more sophisticated scripting than ever, and all on Layer 1 Bitcoin Cash. BCH Bliss 2025, the number one decentralized P2P cash conference in Ljubljana, Slovenia, has been announced for May 2025. More information coming later in the show from the BCH Bliss conference organizers. BitAuth and Chaingraph pre-release upgrades made available on Docker Hub and live in BitAuth IDE, allowing developers to experiment with all the Bitcoin Cash 2025 upgrades through the Bitcoin Cash node, BCHN. The Reaper NFT collection, originally launched on SmartBCH, is now bridgeable to Cash tokens. Community friend Cheapy has launched a FundMe campaign and will be joining us next week to discuss exactly all the goodness he's offering the community and why you should seriously consider funding him. New Flipstarter Purely Peer, driving financial inclusion and community growth with decentralized peer-based advertising, including geocaching games, has launched and has already raised a whopping 140 BCH out of a 287 goal. Xhandle Bitcoin made a joke about Bitcoin Cash, coinciding with a 20% increase in price, taking BCH to over 500 euros. More evidence that no publicity is bad publicity. The Fiendish Friends token is officially claimed on Cauldron Dex and has soared to sixth place in total value locked. Its success picked up a lot of attention, and we can confirm that the Fiendish token has now been officially entered into the Bitcoin Cash podcast and Meme Master Luke Cryer's Meme Coin competition, and is available on Cauldron Dex, with each token used in social games, exclusive access to goodies and services, and is backed at a minimum by 1 minute of Fiendish services, consultation, expertise, and time. Fiendish and Friends made it into the news. Woo! Published by the Bitcoin Cash Foundation's weekly ecosystem roundup. And if you want to keep up to date with BCH news, just follow their account at bchf_org on x.com for weekly news updates. Last but not least, big news from our American friends. Gary Gensler, chairman of the SEC, who has done more damage to the crypto space than even Do Kwon, which is kind of ironic, as despite all the damage Gary did through protecting investors, he didn't protect a single person from Luna's $40 billion collapse. He has announced that he's standing down from his post in January 2025. So give a thumbs up or a heart emoji to say farewell, Gary Gensler. Fiendish and Friends' official stance on this is good riddance. We all pray that this is a sign of ushering in a more forward-thinking, free market libertarian stance on the revolutionary technology enabled by decentralized blockchains and cryptocurrencies. That was the news. This week, Fiendish and Friends are running a new competition during this episode for a chance to win a big stash of Fury tokens that can be used to place predictions and wagers over at bch.guru. And I'll post a link to a deck where you can get some more information about what their services offer. All you have to do to win is come up with the very best, freshest, catchiest Fiendish and Friends catchphrase and win 50,000 Fury tokens. To enter, simply reply to this Fiendish and Friends space over the next hour with your catchphrase along with a catch token friendly address. Or grab the mic and share your catchphrase with us live on air. A further splurge of 50,000 Fury tokens will be shared with everyone who joins in the competition with a good entry but doesn't quite make it to the winning spot. On today's episode, we have joining us Sayoshi Nakamaru, founder of Badges.cash and FundMe.cash, to tell us a little bit about what his products offer and why he's so invested in Bitcoin Cash. And BCH Bliss conference organizer Jeremy joins to talk about the hottest P2P cash conference of the year, as well as giving updates to the 2024 BCH Cash Tokens Meme Coin competition, where you can win up to one BCH just for a few minutes of your time and a few giggles. Before we begin, Phoenix and Friends is recorded, and all episodes are available on your favorite podcast platforms, such as Spotify, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Samsung Podcasts, Pandora, Deezer, amongst many, many others. We are available on YouTube as both podcast and video. Just search for Phoenix and Friends and you'll find us. So if you can't stay for all the juicy information today, you can always catch up afterwards at your convenience. And don't forget to share with your family, your friends, your pets, and anyone else who wants to keep up to date with the hottest tech in money and finance. On that note, let's get started and let's give a big warm welcome to our first speaker, Soyoshi Nakamario, founder of fundraiser website fundme.cash and BCH Bankers platform badgers.cash, where badger coins are generated for locking up BCH for a certain period of time. Soyoshi, welcome to the stage. It's wonderful to have you on Fiendish and Friends.
Thanks, Fiendish. Can you hear me okay? My check.
Are you there, Soyoshi?
I am.
Soyoshi, there's a mic is on button. There you go. Hey, are you with us?
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you.
Can you hear Soyoshi?
Yeah, no problem for me.
Have we got a Twitter issue? Then I invite to speak again. Okay. As we can see that despite the many billions that are spent on Twitter tech and X.com spec tech, there are still some issues to have. So Soyoshi. Oh, wonderful. I can hear you loud and clear. That's great. So welcome.
Hey, and when in doubt.
Yes. Sorry about that. This is normal. Glitches within Twitter spaces is to be expected. So yeah, welcome and lovely to have you here.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I'm from IT, so, you know, turn it off, turn it on again, usually works.
That's right. It is the ultimate guide for anyone with issues. So yeah, but glad that's working, because if I was to turn it on and off or off and on again, we'd lose the Twitter space, which wouldn't be so great. So, Soyoshi, I'm sure the audience would love a little introduction from you. Who you are, what you do, and why Bitcoin Cash?
I'll give a quick version. There's actually a very long version on the Casual BCH podcast on Help Me Cash's YouTube. So I was working in IT for like 10 years and decided to switch over to coding like 3 years ago to get more involved in the community. I learned about Bitcoin back in like late 2010, I think. And since then, I've just kind of been learning, but never really took a front seat in anything just because I didn't have a coding background and feel like I couldn't really speak in those conversations. So everything was, a lot of people in Bitcoin were very technical, so it was very intimidating. But over time, got knowledge and just wanted to do more than just kind of sit on the sidelines. So started helpme.cash, which is just a link aggregation site, and started getting involved in a smart BCH when it was a thing, which I first got me into coding. And then when that exploded, I jumped over to learning cash tokens, and that's where Badgers and FundMe have come from.
Yeah, that explosion with smart BCH, that was a painful time for a lot of developers, and it's wonderful that you stayed on. So what was it that made you decide to stay on and move your efforts from smart BCH to cash tokens?
I've been in Bitcoin a very long time. It's kind of the typical OG Bitcoin person that's in BCH is that it's the first. It logically makes sense from a technical and economic standpoint. When SegWit happened and SegWit 2x didn't happen and exploded, it's just kind of tossed in the towel, and then it's all in BCH at that point. So I was all in Bitcoin and then all in BCH after the fork happened, and I've kind of been on that the whole time. So when Smart PCH actually died, that was part of, that was a decision of, I actually had a very large EVM project, and I had to decide either, do I go to cash tokens and rebuild from scratch, or do I very easily hop over to some other EVM chain? And I played around with like Avalanche and looked at Solana and stuff, but my heart wasn't in it. I am a BCH person, a Bitcoin person. But also, just from the logical standpoint, cash tokens, and I think I've said this a few places, it seems like a Solidity 2.0 for BCH, where Ethereum got massively popular because of its programming language. And when Solidity came out, it became very easy to do. Cash tokens on BCH just seems like that. It's another version. It's, we're potentially at the beginning of a, another huge explosion of adoption. So why not jump in first?
Yeah, definitely. I think there's a huge amount of potential for everything that is being built here. That's why we're all here, right? Because we see the importance of decentralized money and how, you know, I'm guessing, so you've been in the community for a long time, that you've seen that from the cryptocurrencies that you're aware of, that Bitcoin Cash has something, it's built for that future. And maybe, you know, could you give some insight for those of, that listen to this that may be new to Bitcoin Cash or unaware of what benefits it have? Like, why Bitcoin Cash over for something like BTC or any other crypto that you're sort of aware of, like Ethereum? What makes Bitcoin Cash the one that draws to you and that pulls you back and keeps you invested?
A lot of it comes down to the economics. It's all about users and having people use it, the most amount of people possible. But then not going to the extremes that the network can't handle. So it's kind of like that, the three bears with BTC being too small, BCH being just right, and then SV showing that going too large doesn't work. So growing over time to allow all those users and providing enough to incentivize the miners to keep the network working long term. It's a very in-depth discussion that is hard to get across people in a very simple terms. From my view anyways, I'm bad at doing that. But just like the overall design of the technicals and the economics, just it does work. The design works, Satoshi, the way he designed it. So that's kind of why I've always followed that path of like what makes sense.
It does work. Yeah, for me, there's so many aspects of Bitcoin Cash that I think are so important. So I think the original design of Bitcoin is just phenomenal, is brilliant. And the idea of a store of value and means of exchange, this was the critical part. And I think it's really interesting because, you know, the fork BTC was crippled, became the store of value. And it'd be very difficult to make it a means of exchange. Whereas Bitcoin Cash kept that means of exchange, still has some work to do on the store of value. But this is where, you know, people like yourself and all of the building that happens can easily rectify that. But nevertheless, the technology has continuously improved since that split in 2017 to make Bitcoin Cash even a better means of exchange and to be even more smart while still scalable. So for me, that makes Bitcoin Cash the clear winner, certainly from those two, without, you know, going into Ethereum or that sort of model. But yeah, thinking about builders, and I think we both, you know, we've discussed this in person, that buildings and products is what's going to lift BCH up and get those users up and get the value of the network up. And one of the products that you've created is Badgers Cash, which I've sent a link in Twitter, so anyone can check that out. And maybe you could talk about Badgers Cash. What is this? What is this site? What made you create this site? And what does it offer?
So Badgers is actually the second project I started working on once I had cash tokens and like somewhat making sense in my head. And doing time locks on Bitcoin isn't new. And I think BTC even can do it at, like, some rudimentary level or something. I'm not 100% on that. So since I was having problems with my first project, I wanted to get something ready for Bliss. So I decided, well, let's do some sort of time locking thing. And because we got cash tokens, we can create tokens. So why don't we reward tokens? So it's basically just staking. And so I did that. So you lock BCH and you get Badger coins back for it for the amount of time that you've locked.
And how many Badger coins do you get for a period of time?
It's 111 on the website. So that's one Badger coin is equivalent to locking one BCH for one block.
Okay. So
just as I was developing it, I just want mostly Badgers was me learning what I can do and what can be done. And so you also get an NFT back when you unlock, and it's honey, is what I called it. And right now it doesn't do anything. And every time you do an unlock, you get a honey, but it does track how much Badger coins that lock did. So in the future, for example, we could set it up so that like the honey gets merged together into one NFT. And that's almost like it's tracking the fungible token value that the NFTs had, but it's on an NFT, but you could still use that in things like the game thing that I've been working on as well.
Ooh, game
so mostly
thing.
Just
did you do go on?
It's on my Twitter. It's not a hidden thing. I think it's just with me and cash tokens, I've just been trying to learn and do things and see what I can do. So I did Badgers. So it spits out fungible tokens in an NFT. And so I made a normal NFT, what people think of, just a picture token thing that you can buy. So on the Badgers Cash website, if you go to Mint tab, there's a normal NFT collection of 10,000 Badgers. There's like 160 sold or something right now. The difference, so again, just trying to explore cash tokens, is because they're NFTs, they have a little bit of data you can save on them. So I just stuck in a bunch of randomly generated numbers on the NFTs as well. And those are stats, stamina, dexterity, strength, attack, defense. They don't do anything right now, but the next step was, well, can we plug these NFTs with cash tokens tech into a web game? So there's nothing online right now except for some pictures on my Twitter, but it's just a basic like side-scrolling 2D shooting game where you got one of the Badgers and you can connect your wallet and it'll see your NFT and you can click your NFT and it takes your stats on the NFT and it affects the game. So you'll do more damage, you'll run faster, that type of stuff.
Ooh, that sounds fun. I saw your Twitter post on this. You posted... you had some quite action after Bliss. Just to go back a little second. So it sounds to me then that Bliss 2024, so that was May this year, that encouraged you to really put some gas, put the pedal down and get Badgers Cash out there. Is that correct?
Yes. I got to the hotel the day before and I was working on Badgers that night and doing updates just before the conference happened.
Love it. Love it. And this is BCH Bliss for me was a fantastic experience. I actually met Sayoshi there in person and he got to give me a live presentation of the stuff that he's been working on. And I loved the atmosphere because there was a lot of builders, a lot of tinkerers, a lot of developers there just trying out new things, which is exactly what Sayoshi has done here with Badgers Cash. But it's a really interesting concept, you know, the idea that you take your BCH, you take it somewhere, you lock it up in a permissionless way that's also it's dealt with a smart contract. So Sayoshi can't steal your money or steal your website once that contract, the time passes and, however many blocks you've set to lock that BCH up passes, then you get your BCH back and some tokens. And this is a really interesting concept. It encourages people to remove BCH liquidity from the market and to lock it up for some fun and games. But then, yeah, as I saw after BCH Bliss, there was you were sharing some posts, some nice images of the characters that you had from Badgers Cash and slowly adapting that and moving that so it was becoming more of a game. But that, I haven't seen much of that over the last few months. I can't remember when the last post was, but I certainly there seems to be more action after BCH Bliss than today. Is that correct? And if so, what's happening with that? Are we going to see more progression, or are you calling off and working on something else?
So one thing I'll jump in real quick since I forgot it. So the Badger tokens right now, there's only one use case on the minting page. You can mint one of the Badgers. They're 0.03 BCH by default. You can, if you provide 10 Badger coins, it cuts that price in half. And that's part of the smart contract. Again, just kind of experimenting with what you can do. There's been a lot of stuff happening in the background. I think it's been about 2 months since I've really touched Badgers. But after the conference, during the conference, I had a little bit of a mind epiphany of the issue I was having with my first project and suddenly realizing the mistake I made and being able to fix that when I got back. So after the conference, fundme.cash got released a few months later, which is for BCH people like Flipstarter. So it's crowdfunding, but it's directly on the chain using a smart contract. Since then, there has been multiple projects in the works, a couple big ones, some I can't talk about yet, some that are on pause. Myself, I have a couple other side projects, nothing officially announceable at the moment, but one to do with BCH loans, another to do with a different way to do crowdfunding. And then that one's kind of like the first steps into a BCH DAO stuff. So actually being able to have people pool money together and vote on what it can do. And that almost kind of ties into FundMe too. So I actually made an article a couple of years ago about BCH.do on read.cash. And that's kind of everything I've been doing has been like the steps towards that.
Yeah, it's really exciting. I've got a lot of questions about fundme.cash and I'd like to explore that a bit more. Before then, I saw Cheap, you gave the thumbs down when Sarashi mentioned about BCH loans. Is that something you want to come on onto stage and talk about? It'd be interesting to hear your take. Maybe not. But if you do, grab the mic. I'd love to hear why you have some questions there. But yeah, looking at fundme.cash, so this is really interesting. So fundme.cash is, as you said, an alternative to Flipstarter. And oh, CP is requesting the mic. Okay, add as speaker. So, CP, once you've joined, yes, let's hear your take on that. What was the thumbs down on? What's your concern there?
You can probably only hear me on the left side if this is the same as the GP space earlier today. My thumbs down wasn't about loans. It was about all of the projects that he can't talk about. So many.
You want more?
I want to know what's happening.
Now it makes sense. Yeah, I mean, we want more, right? We want more projects, and we know that Sarashi's up to some juicy stuff, and we want to hear about every last detail.
Right? What a tease! So, my thumbs down was just about being in the dark, and I don't like it. So that's it.
You're right. Let's squeeze Sarashi by the nipples and get all the information out of him before he leaves. Sarashi, I'd like to tell me about fundme.cash. This is something that's relatively new and is an alternative to Flipstarter. So why would someone choose fundme.cash over Flipstarter? What benefits does it have?
So the first downside of fundme.cash is there is a fee involved, whereas Flipstarter is technically free. You just have to run the server and website and stuff yourself. So that's kind of the flip side of the benefit of FundMe is that it's very easy to use. And that's what the fee is paying for. Basically, you just go to the create page, you put in your date of when you want the campaign to end, how much BCH you want to raise, and then you just throw in your description and images and you hit go. And then you hit confirm on your wallet and you're good. So it just simplifies crowdfunding quite a bit. It also allows people, pledgers, people that put money towards BCH towards campaigns to refund at any time, a lot easier, in my opinion, than Flipstarter. Flipstarter, you need to use the Electron Cash wallet with the plugin, and it does work. It works fine. I've used it before. So I'm not talking down to Flipstarter at all. But because of cash tokens, we can expand the capabilities a lot more. And there's like so much stuff I could add to FundMe that is on a list, a big list. Yeah, that's the gist.
Yeah, I have to admit, I'm a big fan. So I've seen this happen many times with Flipstarter or the different variants of it, that someone left some money to, or gave some money to the campaign. It was maybe sometimes got disappeared and then didn't know how to get it back. Or if the Flipstarter didn't succeed, they lost access to that particular seed, or how they got the money back, or depending on how it's done. And for me also, it was a little bit of a challenge. Now with fundme.cash, you can use a Wallet Connect supporting wallet, such as Paytacker, and you can just connect your wallet into that, send the money with great ease. I haven't refunded anything yet. I'll just wait till Cheapy's FundMe almost gets funded, then I'll yank the money. No, I'm only joking, but I assume that works and works effortlessly. I can certainly see it's just a click of a button. So this is a great website, I think, well worthy of the fee, and I'm guessing that's why people like GP are using this, because they see it as so easy and effortless for people to offer their support to campaigns, that it's well worth the fee of, sorry, what was the fee again? Was it 3%?
So to create a campaign, it's 0.01 BCH, yep. Just a flat, and it's 1.5% to claim.
Oh, okay. There you go. Even better than I thought.
So one thing with FundMe, considering like Kickstarter, for example, is 8%, and they can go all the way up to like 15 after doing some research on it, which I didn't do until after FundMe was already created. So the one thing with FundMe is that the contract is open, open source, but it's also open in the sense that the functions to interact allow a service fee. So that 1.5% fee that FundMe charges, it uses those function arguments, but anybody else can create a website that also does that. So if somebody wanted to use the FundMe, the contract behind FundMe, and not pay the 1.5% fee, and this is shooting myself in the foot, but that's okay. They can create a website to interact with the contract and just not pay the fee, or just pay themselves the fee rather, so they don't have to pay for it. FundMe was initially another project of me learning, and I wasn't necessarily thinking this was gonna be like a business, but I kind of got talked into, I shouldn't be afraid to make money. So kind of throw it out there, see how it does. And a lot of the improvements I want to make to FundMe might end up being a new contract. So it might get locked down more, it might not, depending on things. But a lot of the features of FundMe are mostly front-end stuff. So somebody could throw up their own website with a much better front-end, because FundMe's website is a little janky in places. And it's just there to encourage people to try and do things.
I think that is incredibly honorable. So just for everyone out there who is unaware, so 0.01 BCH is roughly $5, and that's what it costs to list. And I think this is a good amount, because it prevents sort of spamming and just people putting up all sorts of junk on there. So it acts as a filter in that part. And what I can also say there, Sashi, is the way you talk about how you set that up, and the fact that you're even talking about how people can bypass the fee structure that you've put in there, it speaks to the BCH community. And that's the sort of community that Bitcoin Cash has. And I would say to a fault. So it's fantastic. I love working with Bitcoin Cashers, because they are very morally good aligned people. But absolutely, it's fine. Not just fine, it's good when BCHs start creating businesses around their ideas, profitable businesses, because everyone needs to finance to be able to pay their rent, to pay their food. And if you want to have children, for example, you know, everything costs money. And so when you're earning money from your business, your BCH-oriented business, that allows you to spend more time, more effort, and dedicate more resources and try out even more things on Bitcoin Cash. So this is my message to the community. It's okay to earn money doing what you're doing. Do it fairly, do it honestly, as you have done. You know, you've set the fees very clear, the fair price. People get to choose if they want to accept that. or not, and they can choose another service. And if they do get to, if they do choose to accept that, then the fee's part of that bargain of having that really frictionless experience, which of course, the less friction there is, the more likely people are to contribute and the more likely you are to get that amount anyway. And people can adjust that into the amount that they need to raise if it plays a role in that. So my advice to you, Sarshi, is please feel free to lock that down. I'm sure many in the community, if not anyone that you care about, would agree with that, because we want to see more developers be able to fund their BCH endeavors through their own entrepreneurship. So not having to ask to reach out for money because it's not always there. And we want to make sure that things continue and developing in this space. So yeah, that's just my take on that.
Yeah, it's been a discussion I've had. But the Cash Starter contract, which is behind FundMe, is on the blockchain. It's there. It's not going anywhere. It's fully open and anybody can use it hundreds of years into the future.
That's great. Although I'm guessing maybe in hundreds of years, the future will have something even better.
Most likely.
Most likely. Yeah. Great. Then, is anyone in the audience have any questions for Sir Ashley?
I do. I would love to hear a little bit more about, I've been impressed to see that the traction on the site is starting to build up. You know, first it was just one campaign, two campaigns. Now there's already a bit of a backlog, and that's great because that's a huge another upgrade over Flipstarter. Is because all the Flipstarters were hosted separately. That's great for decentralization, etc. But it made it very hard to keep track of what campaigns had been run before, who had funded them, what they'd done, what they'd promised, etc. But with FundMe, it's all so naturally aggregated together in one place, and you can just look back in the history and find those. At the moment, it's small enough that you can just quickly scroll around there and find what you're looking for. But in the future, that will become harder and harder to do, especially as like for I use FundMe, and I'm probably soon going to do my second FundMe campaign. So it would be great then if there was like a section with or a filter or something, so that you could just look for Bitcoin Cash podcast and you could just see the history building up over time to create confidence for future investors, right, in another campaign, and in that way you get people onto sort of recurring income working in the industry. So I'm wondering what sort of plans, if any, there are for improving that visibility on the delivery. Like you could have a little delivered status, you could check up on people after a little while, give them a space to write an update over time, anything like that be awesome. And also separately, which is sort of related, the stats at the top. I love the stats where it says how many BCH have been raised, how many people have been funded, etc. As those numbers tick up over time, it builds so much credibility for the site, and that's great. But that might also be something else to improve in the future in terms of more metrics, graphs, linking that to how many people have delivered or how much has been done, etc.
Yeah, the stats on the site right now are technically static, except for the total raise and pledge is supposed to dynamically update, but there's a bug with that right now, which I know what the problem is. I just haven't got around to it. But doing the historical, like the archived campaigns and everything around that, in once we start getting more campaigns, is definitely near the top of my very big list, being able to filter them and do things like that. So there's definitely plans. I got some ideas around some of it. So that will happen at some point. It's just a matter of when. The only real major feature I've added to FundMe recently was campaign creators can do an update now on their campaign. So Jeremy, like you could actually go to your old FundMe that you did, and there's the update tab. As long as you're connected with the address that created it, it'll automatically show up a little edit box, just like when you created it. And you can put whatever message you want in there and submit, and then it posts it as an update that everybody can see. The FundMe that I actually did for the learning classes, I think it has two on it right now, just as an example. So yeah, definitely a lot of things around that are at the top of the list. It's just a matter of time to work on it.
Yeah, as always. But that's super cool because then it's turning into almost a bit of an accountability log that you sort of get for free as a part of doing that, right? Like, I already have the Bitcoin Cash podcast website, and I make a big effort to try and record a lot of what I do to build up this credibility. But the easier we can make that for new people, like somebody new coming to the community might not know that that's what they should do, or that's how they, so the more we can help people with the tools inbuilt right there to build up that credibility and help them get the best chance of delivering good results and getting funded again, that's just absolutely amazing. So BTH is incredible.
Yeah, that was kind of the idea around the archive and having it set up like that. And also, it's like another thing that's on the list is allowing pledgers to vote against campaigns that have finished, of like, do they approve or not approve based off the funding or what happened to the campaign. And like, that's a whole other expansion to the FundMe contracts, or the cash starter contracts rather, that is, I've spent a bunch of time and I do have some like basic implementations, but just need time. And that's kind of why I did the learning classes recently, or planning to do them, is just to try and get some more eyes on it, because at this stage, BCH is extremely powerful, but we need people to actually be building.
Yeah, definitely. And more people in the ecosystem will help. So, Sashi, I understand you were at a BTC meetup last night. Did you manage to get any of the people interested, or the interest peak, to come into the BCH world and start tinkering here?
No.
Damn it.
Yeah, it was quite maxi. Wasn't much progress made on that front. And there was a lot of new people there to crypto in general, and they got a very big presentation about mining at home, which I just kind of wanted to facepalm the entire time. So,
oh geez, were they actually trying to sell that as a, what were they selling that as a, is helping the network or making money? I mean, how do you sell that mining at home for BTC?
Yeah, it was a little bit of everything. Like, the guys running the presentation were good. They're actually the guys that make the BitAx little miners. But the overall conversation was, yeah, generally industrial mining, how many thousands it costs to get it working in your house to replace your furnace and stuff, which there's interesting things about that type of stuff. But you could just tell that most of the people that were there to learn have not really heard anything about crypto, and they were specifically interested in profit.
Yeah.
And if you want profit, you don't really want to be in the mining sector unless you have millions of dollars.
Unless you have millions of dollars and are somewhere where the energy is particularly cheap, it's probably going to cost you money. But okay.
Yes.
But I think, yeah, the profit is the normal reason why people are attracted to cryptocurrency. We have to be honest here. They come for the gains, but they stay for the feels, especially in Bitcoin Cash. So, and this is where the more builders we've got, the more products that are being put out there, the more people will come in, and they'll see that, and they're more likely to come in because there's activity there. There's, you know, chance to be part of that pioneering force. But I think, yeah, that's the reality of whether it's 98% or 99%, but I'm pretty sure it's about there. People get into crypto because, hey, there's money in this, right?
Yeah, just to give context, I'm in Alberta, Canada, and the electricity here is very expensive. So any mining that you're going to do here, unless you're like very large industrial player that's worked out a special deal, definitely you're not going to be making anything.
Yeah. As I say, I'm in Germany, and the cost of electricity is about 40 cents per kilowatt hour. So you can't mine. Not at huge cost. Just want to do a quick pause. I just want to read out. So, reminder to everyone that there's the competition to win 50,000 furu. And the winner will get 50,000 furu. Runners up will get the remaining sort of just over 50,000. We've had a few entrants here. I'd just like to read out this one. I think this is pretty cool. So, a Fiendish and Friends catchphrase: real money, real tokens, real talk. Fiendish and Friends. It's nice. There's also some other ones, but it would take the next hour to read them out. So I'm going to leave those ones to the side. But maybe they're going to be, they're certainly entered into the competition for the runner-up prize. But if there's anyone out there with a great catchphrase, do comment it in under this spaces and for a chance to win that 50,000 furu or one of the runner-up prizes. So actually, thank you so much for your time. And it's really, you know, I'm so privileged to have met you in person. And I think that what you're doing for fun is already a lot more than what many people are doing for serious. So I'm really excited to see the outcome of the projects that you're working on. And I can't wait until you can share some more details. And I would be wonderful to be able to see you again in person. I really hope that some magic happens and you're able to attend BCH Bliss next year with your wife. And but if not, we understand. But thank you so much for being here. And it was always a pleasure.
Yeah, thanks for having me. She's trying to talk me into it, so we'll see.
Fantastic. This is, you know, we saw a BCH Bliss, there was 60 tickets sold. And what I'd love to see it, that's the majority of the people that went there, from what I experienced, had a really nice time, shared some great moments with each other. And I really would love to see the majority come back and then to grow on that with new, fresh entrants to the BCH Bliss experience. And while we're on the BCH Bliss topic, we've got Jeremy here. So please welcome Jeremy, one of the organizers of BCH Bliss, also developer behind Celine Wallet and organizer of the 2024 BCH Cash Tokens Meme Coin Competition. Jeremy, welcome. Second show.
Hello.
You're already your second appearance.
Glad to be here.
Glad to have you back.
I'm a regular.
You're a regular. Yes. Before we dive into the most exciting topic that you've come to talk about, BCH Bliss, I just want to have a quick update. I'm sure many people are interested. How's the meme coin competition going? How many coins have been submitted so far? And could you talk a little bit about the very best of the tokens that have been entered? And I'd love to know, what are the worst?
Well, we've had a mix. To be honest, I haven't looked at the actual wallet where we're accepting the submissions yet, because I want to get a good sense from myself. If I see the tokens coming up, you know, on my social media feed, if they're doing a good job marketing, they're attracting attention, they're attracting buzz without me necessarily knowing that they're entered immediately, right? Because that's exactly how you experience a token in the real world. You're not, you know, you don't have a list of these are the things I want to look into. No, you just see what's out there, and then what jumps out at you is what's doing the best job of marketing and getting your attention. So I couldn't give you the stats on the exact amount of submissions. I know for sure we have the Fiendish token that you have done, which has been quite a strong entrant, at least so far. It's listed on Cauldron. It has a fascinating concept with being linked to your time. Nice graphics. You've done this show as a tie-in to that. So that's very impressive work already. And I think even if just that came out of the competition, it already would have been worth our time to run. But we've had a couple of others as well too. I've seen Yawn and Smile Token have both been created, and they've had some more sort of, I don't know what the word is, not Pepe style graphics exactly, but more of that kind of internet cartoon look. Has been catching my eye a little bit. They've done some promotions on Twitter and so forth as well too, so we're generating some buzz there. And then obviously we have the two categories, so people can submit in the cash tokens. There's been some work there. Paul, shout out to him as well. He made a video that you've referenced before, I know too, about how to make coins and how to list them on Cauldron and so forth. So that was also very inspiring, because part of the goals of the competition is to drive not only using the tooling, but actually explaining it, doing tutorials and creating new tooling if and where it's needed for other people to follow up. So that might also be kind of in the running. I don't know whether he submitted a token that he made as a test, or whether he's going to, or if it will just be that video, but that's also caught my eye as something maybe worth rewarding. And then we have the non-cash tokens section, like we did last year with the people can do images. We've had a poem submitted, actually, which I quite liked. I think we've had at least one, probably maybe even two or more videos as well. So there's competition is quite hot in that category as well. So it's,
I haven't seen those. maybe you could share some. Have you retweeted those ones out?
I haven't been retweeting them all too much, and that's honestly a bit of a state of the BCH ecosystem these days. There's so much going on that I can't just retweet, you know, absolutely everything. So I have to be a little bit selective. There's so much going on. But if you go on my profile and you click on the pinned post and then scroll down in the comments there, you can see people are replying with their images and their videos and all kinds of stuff. There's actually, gosh, I'm just looking now. There's some new ones that I hadn't seen.
That's crazy. There's too much stuff going on right now in BCH. I've had this thought as well. So for everyone that's listening, just tone it down. Because I'm also someone, I like retweeting when I see stuff that's like, hey, that's really interesting. That's great development. I like retweeting that. And I do feel that I pick up Twitter. It's like everything I read is like, yes, this is awesome. Retweet. And it's like, okay, that's 20 retweets in the last hour. Okay, I better call it down. So yeah,
exactly.
Head on to Jeremy's profile, and I'm actually just going on there now. Let's see.
The bar is going up, definitely, for earning a retweet from me, and that's such a brilliant sign, you know, as the ecosystem grows. Like when I started the BCH podcast, you know, I had to do a little bit of manufacturing something to talk about, you know, there wasn't necessarily tons going on within BCH, had to look in the rest of crypto and have, you know, different guests or talk about the history, things that were happening in the past. But these days there is absolutely no shortage, and I just cannot cover everything. So that's just great. The scene is just starting to really take off in the amount of energy and activity and different elements to it. So that's a great thing, and I love to see it. But it does have the natural side effect that the selective pressure becomes higher and higher and higher to break through. In terms of getting a retweet or a segment on the show or something like that. And that's good. That's just the sort of a capitalist process. You know, it's really iteration driving quality as people try and deliver bigger and bigger announcements or projects or ideas to get that mind share to an increasingly large audience as well too, which is amazing.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's a really exciting moment for the community. I wish we had some sort of tracker of if I was to log that, how many interesting BCH developments I see, like genuinely interesting developments. I'm convinced that the last few weeks alone have been just mind-blowing. Like the XO being announced. I mean, just today, I think it was today, I don't know, it's moving so quickly. You had Cauldron Dex had their upgrades, and it, you know, looks just so much better now. And you can see all the transactions really easy that have happened. But it's just continuous. It's just things pinging off left, right, and center. And it's a great time to be in the community. I love seeing this development. So, yeah, everyone is invited to join this Cash Tokens meme coin competition. Just go over to Jeremy's X handle. So that's at the BCH podcast, where you can check out the rules. I've also posted it in the link, so you've got a link to the rules and guidance on how to submit your meme coin for a chance to win one BCH. And now we come to the most exciting topic of it all. So I had a great time this year, at the start of the year at BCH Bliss 2024, where I got to meet all the wonderful, many wonderful people here. Dago was there, Jeremy, of course, some other people that I won't mention. But there was just so many people there from the community, and it was a great experience. And I thought maybe, you know, was this just a once off of experiencing such a monumentous occasion? But no, the news came out just after the last Phoenician Friends that BCH Bliss 2025 has been greenlit. So Jeremy, I'd love to hear all about that.
Yes, well, I buried the lead a little bit. I said like, oh, well, I'm going to be making an announcement of an announcement kind of thing. And you were like, what are you talking about? what does that even mean? But that's what it was. We're bringing back Bliss for a second year. So when we first ran it last year, obviously, it was a bit of an experiment. You know, I mean, I have kind of a big vision for the whole Bliss brand and idea, because I had seen, you can just look in the larger cryptocurrencies on the coin market cap ranks and just see, look, BCH is better than these coins on a lot of aspects. You know, it might be more scalable, it has better technology, it has a more dedicated community, it has a smoother governance process, it has more innovative projects, more passionate people. And then you sort of look, okay, well, there's got to be a reason that we aren't number one, right? So what are those reasons? Where are we lacking, and what do we need to fix? And there's a few things in that bucket. You know, it's a smaller community. There was a lot of problems with the history. Various people lost money, like the CoinFlex bridge scam and so forth, right? But one of the most noticeable things that we're really lacking to massively increase both our credibility and our visibility, as well as improve the network effect within the community, was conferences, essentially, was big, like physical events. You know, in 2020, 2021, there was a coronavirus and stuff, and there just weren't any conferences. 2022, we had St. Kitts, which was great. And I know I was thinking the other day, you know, that was just past 2 years ago now. That was in November of 22. And when we were there, I remember saying, I'm sure to you and other people, like, wow, this is going to be looked back on as a real historic moment. Like, if you were here for this, you truly were one of the BCH OGs, right? But then that conference was great and everything, but for a variety of reasons, it didn't recur the next year in 2023. So 2023, we had a bit of a gap. And so coming up to sort of more the end of 2023, I thought, well, for 2024, we really do want to have a conference. And Jonathan had this idea to have a sort of a meetup, like a small technical meetup to celebrate the upgrade, because that's one of the big features that BCH has, is that we have a regularly scheduled upgrade that you know when it's going to be. And it's a bit of a shelling point. Everyone can get excited. Everyone can get hyped up going into it and stuff. And in the past, we've done just live streams where people can join online, but that's sort of, you know, a bit ad hoc. It's really not as exciting as being there in person, you know, with a room full of people that are also excited. So for that reason, there was a lot of ideas that I had as to, like, well, we need a conference, you know, in my ideal vision in the future, in 15 or 20 years, when Bitcoin Cash is this global reserve currency used by billions of people, there would obviously be some kind of mega festival or something. You know, the NFL has the Super Bowl, the NBA have their finals, big rock, you know, artists have Glastonbury, and anything that is significantly large enough as a cultural force has some kind of monumental in-person meetup type event, right? And crypto shouldn't be any different. So because BCH was lacking in that so much, I thought, well, this is a great chance for us to step into the breach there and try and create something. Now, we've been super lucky this year because we had Bliss, and that was great, and then also BCH Argentina, which is awesome. So we've got two conferences this year, and there's already two announced for next year between Bliss and the Townsville guys. And I don't know if anybody's going to announce any other ones, but at the very least, that means, you know, we're now getting multiple conferences a year. So you can really see that the theme is growing. But we did the first Bliss, like I said, as a bit of an experiment. I had, you know, a big vision for it, but you never know until you run it. And people come and actually enjoy it. And as the organizers, we felt that everything went well. We didn't have any problems. You know, we found some good sponsors and so forth.
There were some amazing people that turned up, right? There's some real surprises when all of a sudden people started speaking, and you, even though you've never heard this person, the voice, but you've seen the way that they write, and all of a sudden it's, hang on a minute, I know you.
Yeah.
And that was a really amazing experience that you could only have in person.
Yeah, that was a huge thing that meant that we clearly had done something right, that we had earned the trust of people in the community to come out to an event like that. And we were, we did make an effort to sort of try and respect people's privacy and so forth, if they didn't want to be in photos from the event and all that. And so going forward, we want to obviously continue that. And so Bliss really is trying to be, Jonathan sees it as a builder-focused conference, and I think that's right. First and foremost, he is very heavy on the technical aspect and celebrating the upgrade, and I love all that. But in my mind, it's got that element, but it is also a bit of a celebration of BCH as a whole, and it needs to be an event for the community. And I think those two strands work together quite nicely. So we're bringing it back.
Both meme.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
All right, so I've got some important questions. I guess a lot of people here are interested to know. When are the tickets going on sale?
So we've just put out a video. It's on the BCH Bliss Twitter account, pinned there, announcing it. So we announced on November the 15th, which is the lock-in day for the VM limits. So it kind of was nicely coincided. But tickets will be on sale January the 15th. So you'll have 4 months, and then the conference starts on the 12th or 13th of May. Really, I guess I'll definitely be there on the 12th, but the actual conference starts on the 13th, 14th, 15th. You'll be able to get tickets 4 months in advance. Last year, we also announced we did the tickets in January, but that was also just announced at that time, right? This year, we're really trying to give a bit more lead time for hype and everything, but we know that obviously people are going to be busy during Christmas and so forth. So in January 15th, we'll be going live with the ticket sale, which will be on TapSwap like we did last year. We might also see, but we're considering maybe having an option just that you can pay in pure BCH and then get your Velma allocated at the door. We had some people who kind of weren't really up to date with the latest in the BCH ecosystem. You know, it's moving so fast that we're starting to leave people behind a little bit, in that even if they were crypto fans, you know, they couldn't really get their head around the Wallet Connect and TapSwap and all that, right? But they still wanted to be a part of it. So we're going to try and find a way to accommodate those people, I think. But it will be January 15th sale on TapSwap. Obviously, we'll do a big announcement and post about it. There'll be the Velmas this year. So last year it was the Jessicas, this year it's the Velma NFTs. You can obviously choose your favorites from the ones that are listed. Then we'll probably do a variety of prices like we did last year within a certain range. And then obviously that will be your ticket into the event like we did last year. So it's really a crypto conference. It's not like, yeah, crypto, where are we all making money? It's like, to be at the event, you actually have to be using the latest tools and actually engaging with crypto as it's going to become popular and common in the future. And we're sort of really pioneering that in practice.
I love that. And I think this is a great to take into consideration. As you say, the people that are being left behind, there might also be people very new to BCH that just want to come because they want to experience what the ecosystem has to offer. And I don't think, you know, for me, a conference should be inclusive. If people want to come, they should be able to come. Of course, they have to pay in BCH, you know, in some way. I think that's the right mentality. But to make that as easy and effortless for people, I think it's a good and a smart way to go. And just for everyone out there, I am financially involved in that because I've got a whopping massive €100 bet to fill out all the seats. So I want to make that frictionless as possible because I want to fill up those seats and make sure that we make it just as before, really just as exactly the same atmosphere, just with a stick of dynamite up its ass, just bigger, better. So you said, mentioned about the prices. Are the prices going to be kind of similar to last time? Have you got any sort of indication of how that's going to look like?
Well, yeah, I don't want to make any promises at this stage, certainly because obviously crypto is volatile. So who knows by January the 15th, certainly with how the market is now, who knows how much a BCH is going to be worth. But what I probably can say is that last year we tried to find a nice sort of middle ground that was cheaper than most of what the sort of crypto industry in quotation marks would charge for an event, because obviously we appreciate that we want to make it financially accessible to as many people as possible, and people also do obviously have to spend money in traveling to the event, getting their hotel and staying, you know, in the area and being on a bit of a vacation, right? So we do want to try and keep things accessible. Last year, the tickets were roughly, I think it was about $250 at the US dollars at the time that we set the prices. But then they were fixed in BCH, and the BCH price did fluctuate significantly between the time that we set them and then the time that the actual event was. I'm getting some feedback, Finnish. And then so once we had that set, we just stuck with it, really. And I think that will probably be the same strategy for us this year. I think as we're getting close to the ticket sale, we'll pick the price that we believe is suitable and list up the Velmas. And then obviously they'll trade, and they can also trade on the secondary market if there's tons of additional demand. But I think the strategy of setting the price in BCH is a good one, because the price doesn't change for BCH holders. You know, if the price goes to the moon in the couple of months, well, then that might make it hard for people who want to scramble for the last minute. But if you are already a BCH holder, then at least some of your wealth is denominated in BCH, and there's no actual change to the price. So it's another way that we're sort of pioneering and thinking about operating on cryptocurrency as a full economy. But we are going to try and make things accessible as we can. And we'll also be sort of responsive to ticket demand. You know, perhaps if there's overwhelming demand, we might release another tranche at a lower price. Or if we get a lot of extra sponsors, that might also factor into our decision making. But I can't make any promises there.
Yeah, that's understandable. It's exciting. And do we have some people that are well known that will be attending that aren't part of the Bitcoin Cash community?
Well, we'll see. You know, you can never really tell until the day. And obviously, particularly with the developments, ticket sales, we don't even know. We don't have the information of people's names and addresses. And you know, that defeats the whole point of crypto, right? Anybody can just go on and buy a Velma, and whoever rocks up at the door, people could even be trading them after the fact, you know. So whoever rocks up at the door with the Velma is the one who gets in, really. But that said, you do sort of get a bit of a sense as people are talking before the conference. You know, we certainly have seen some interest this year from Peter Risen, who is a very OG Bitcoiner and a big blocker from before the fork. He did a ton of work into scaling research and stuff. Anybody who isn't familiar with his things can look up what he was involved with. And he sort of drifted away from BCH for, I guess, a variety of his own reasons, but having, I guess, seen some of the blitz last year and looking into it this year, he's also kind of said a little bit like, I might be interested in attending. So we're going to see what we can do to get him along, because that would be a huge boost for the community to be seeing him in action once again and really engaging with the project. And then we've also seen a little bit of interest from Eric Wall, my, I don't know what the word is, online frenemy, who famously, you know, started the Taproot Wizards in 2023 after capitulating on several years of believing the Lightning Network was going to fix everything. So he's had a bit of a journey in appreciating Bitcoin through different lenses, and said that he was going to attend last year to come and really learn from the BCH's latest innovations and so forth. And then at the last minute, he wasn't able to attend, and he was honestly quite gracious where he let me know privately and all that. So I appreciate him for that. But when this year was announced, Jonathan poked him on Twitter and said, Eric, are you considering coming along this year and maybe fulfilling your promise? And he immediately replied and said, just yeah, I'll be there, kind of an idea. So we'll see whether or not he is in attendance, but that would be really cool. I would love to meet him in person. Jake Sand, you know, he's done a lot for Bitcoin in his own way, and I also respect how much he has been able to mature in his understanding of the technology and the history and the community. And certainly that would also bring a lot of attention, obviously, to the event if we were attracting people who were previously quite outspoken, you know, critics or skeptics of BCH. So there's a lot of potential there. And I mean, we only just announced this 1 week ago. You never know. We still got another 6 months before the event. So who knows what could happen or what kind of attendees we'll end up with.
Oh, thanks so much for the information. That's exciting. I think, someone like Eric Wall, so however anyone thinks about him, having someone that's that prominent on the cryptocurrency scene, to have someone like that come to a Bitcoin Cash conference will bring in a whole new set of eyes and will likely sell them more tickets for people that are sort of interested. Okay, what's going on here? Because if it's interesting, someone that's so deep in the ecosystem, but playing for another team, then there must be something here worth investigating. So thanks, Jeremy, for that. And I can't stress enough for everyone that is interested in Bitcoin Cash and wants to meet their heroes, BCH Bliss is the place to be. So I will definitely be joining. I know Cheapy's going too, so he's already promised that. That's fantastic. Well done. we gotta sell those tickets. We got 150 seats to fill. We're gonna get everyone done. I'm joking. Chippy said he probably won't be able to come because it's he's already sort of gave his word to another conference, a Bitcoin Cash conference. But let's see. You know, maybe if the Bitcoin Cash price rises as we all suspect over the upcoming months, then Chippy will be able to join too. So I've noticed the time. We are over the hour, so it's time to come to the end of Phoenix and Friends. Thanks again to our special guests, Jeremy and Sayoshi Nakamario. Please don't forget to follow them at the BCH Podcast and Sayoshi Help Me, respectively. If you enjoyed the show and want to show your appreciation, please feel free to drop some BCH or a Phoenix token into our wallet. The Cash token address is in the description of our X profile. I'll pick up an exclusive Phoenix and Friends Episode 2 NFT available for 0.05 BCH. There are only 5 unique NFTs per episode of Phoenix and Friends, also available at tapswap.cash. A Fiendish token will be given out to each one of our special guests today. And to all the Fiendish and Friends fans out there, all we're looking for is one Fiendish token is to send to that address linked in the X profile to cover the next episodes. Fiendish and Friends number 3 next week at 1 p.m. Central European time. So just one token for 60 minutes of goodness. And on that episode, we've got Cheapy from the Bitcoin Cash Foundation to talk about his dedication and his dedicated work in the ecosystem and his current FundMe designed to allow him to continue at the volume and pace he has been doing over the past year. We've got Base Poker HQ to talk about their new BCH supporting poker platform. We've got something excited in the community lined up around this. And also Milan, formerly Mira Hurley, which many of you will know from the Nano community, will be joining to talk about P2P Cash and why it's so important. And there's all of that and so much more. So if any of that interests you, simply go to Cauldron Dex, make that purchase of one single Fiendish token representing just 1 minute of time, and go and send that to that address. This was Fiendish and Friends. I wish you all lovely fiends a very good morning, good day, and good night. Take care.